This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Matt Piper. As Israel enters what Prime Minister Netanyahu calls the second stage of war, the Gaza Health Ministry says more than 8,000 Palestinians have been killed by Israeli attacks and that they're mostly women and children. Though the besieged enclave received its largest aid convoy yet Sunday, humanitarian agencies say much more is needed for the more than 2 million people there. The UN's Julia Turner.
Supplies are very, very little, and they don't correspond to the huge needs on the ground.
The U.S. has resisted calls to push for a ceasefire, saying that could be exploited by Hamas. Correspondent Skylar Henry.
The Biden administration says it will hold Israel accountable if the country violates the law of armed conflict, though critics are scrutinizing the military operation and add the U.S. has a responsibility to de-escalate the situation. As those concerns grow, over on Capitol Hill, new House Speaker Mike Johnson says he thinks a standalone Israel aid package will pass in the lower chamber this week.
A federal judge has reinstated a partial gag order on Donald Trump in the case of his alleged efforts to illegally overturn his 2020 election defeat.
Trump had asked the judge to stay the order while he appeals it. The order barred Trump from targeting the special counsel who is prosecuting his case or witnesses who might be called to testify. District Judge Tanya Chutkan imposed the gag order at the Justice Department's request and temporarily lifted it earlier this month after Trump's lawyers appealed. Now, she's reversed that decision. Christopher Cruz, CBS News, Washington.
New information regarding the killer behind last week's mass shooting in Lewiston, Maine. Our Jeff Begays is there.
Before the gunman Robert Card attacked his victims, he was on the radar of law enforcement. According to the New York Times, a sheriff in Maine now acknowledges that he sent an alert to other law enforcement after Card made threats about an Army Reserve Center. It's unclear who received the notice and how it was handled.
United Auto Workers leadership has sent a tentative agreement with Ford to union members for a ratification vote. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert.
Most Ford workers will make $40 an hour by the end of the deal, not including a $5,000 ratification bonus and enhanced profit sharing. UAW President Sean Fain says they were also able to get more parts workers up to full pay and pave the way to organize battery plants. Ford also committed to $8 billion in new investments.
It's spooky season at the box office as Five Nights at Freddy's opens to $78 million domestically.
Welcome to Freddy Fazbear's, where fantasy and fun come to life.
That number is the most ever for a Halloween weekend release. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
A lot of people talk.
I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Pay raises for district attorneys and public defenders appear to be having the desired effect. Vacancies are down since the raises went into effect July 1st. Wisconsin District Attorneys Association President Eric Tony tells Wisconsin Public Radio that morale is also better. Public defenders say much the same about retention and morale. Now, Tony says he wants lawmakers to create more prosecutor jobs to help lighten the workload. Tomorrow is Prescription Drug Takeback Day in Wisconsin. People who have old prescription drugs sitting around the medicine cabinet can bring them to one of 140 events happening around the state. There are also nearly 500 drop boxes where people can leave their old medicine anytime. Attorney General Josh Call says Wisconsin is consistently one of the national leaders in the safety effort, and it makes a difference. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Badgers lose to Ohio State.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers kept it close Saturday night at Camp Randall Stadium before losing to the Buckeyes 24-10. Last year, Wisconsin lost to Ohio State 52-21, head coach Luke Fickell.
Because of last year, because of some of those things that can creep into your head mentally about what has happened in the past, I thought it was really important for us to come out and play well, especially in the first quarter, and following a plan and doing that and getting into the fourth quarter, and then fourth quarter comes and we can't execute.
Badgers running back Braylon Allen left the game at halftime and was spotted wearing a walking boot on his left foot. NFL, the Packers lost to the Vikings 24-10. Green Bay's offense making several mental mistakes. Because the Packers offense is such a young team, is that any excuse for losing four in a row? Linebacker Preston Smith.
I'm not an enabler, so I
don't believe in, you know, the age thing. We all been playing football for a long time. I just feel like, you know, youth is an excuse, and I feel like we just got to go out there and execute.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, partly cloudy with lows in the mid-20s. For Monday, mostly sunny, 35. Snow is likely late Monday night. We could see an inch by the time we wake up on Tuesday morning, then clearing out with a high around 36 degrees. For Wednesday, partly sunny and a high of 38.
It's 24 right now.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer, the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. We welcome you in midweek. It is Wednesday, October 25th, 2023, 6 minutes past the hour of noon o'clock. Mr. Zommers, welcome in on a Wednesday.
Here we are today, third day of the new time slot. First day, well, kind of. First day of the new clock.
Yes. And I'm happy to report that they have bought us a brand new grandfather clock. I'm looking at it right in the corner as the hands go back and forth, or the pendulum, I should say.
It's a nice new clock. It's the best new clock. No one else has any clocks like it.
It's the best new clock. Enough of the silliness. There are serious issues happening out in Washington, D.C. as we speak. We are going to keep you up to date on the latest throughout the program today. In Washington, the Republicans, and again, this guy Emmer from Minnesota, who his big black mark against him on his congressional record, according to the majority of the Republican caucus, was that he had the audacity to vote to uphold the 2020 election results, the free and fair election results of 2020. Emmer had the audacity to say, yep, that's right. And for that, Republicans decided, nope, can't go there. And of course, the Trumpster was tweeting out things attacking him last night, calling Emmer a rhino. So we haven't really done the complete calculations. We have to put it into the Scaramucci calculator. But I believe Emmer's term as the Republican nominee for Speaker is about 1/18th of a Scaramucci. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. So what do they do? Republicans decided to go to an election denier. This guy, Mike Johnson from Louisiana, and the latest of about 5 minutes ago, House GOP conference chair Elise Stefanik, no profile and courage herself. Remember, Stefanik was the one that the caucus put in place of Liz Cheney when she had the audacity to vote for the impeachment of Trump after January 6th. Had the audacity to sit on the bipartisan January 6th committee. And for that, Republicans tossed her out and replaced her with Elise Stefanik. Anyway, House Republican Chair Elise Stefanik nominated the designee, Mike Johnson, on the House floor a few moments ago as Republicans looked to fill that vacancy, now going on 3 weeks. She said, quote, on behalf of the House Republican Conference, I rise today to nominate the gentleman from Louisiana, Mike Johnson, as Speaker of the People's House. She said that Johnson, quote, epitomizes what it means to be a servant leader. And thank God that there are barf bags on the Democratic side of the aisle, because I think most of the Democrats got sick after that comment. I'm not sure. Anyway, we're monitoring this in real time. As it happens, we'll talk about that on the show today. Also want to talk about Derek Van Orten and also talk about the Republican Party at large in this hour. And joining us in our new time slot, as he does on Wednesdays, and here's the kind of guy Trygve Olsen is. You call him up and you say, hey, look, we got moved beyond my control. He doesn't throw a fit. He doesn't swear. He doesn't say, well, screw you. He just says, sure, I'll be there. That's the kind of guy you want on your team. Trygve Olsen, former Republican like myself. Has left the party. He is now the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, worked for gentlemen like Mitch McConnell and John McCain. Trygve, welcome back to the show. Thanks for following us to the noon time slot.
You know what? Not a problem.
See? Ice water in his veins. That's the kind of guy Trygve is. How are things in the nation's capital? Do you see smoke coming from the building right there on the hill, or what's going on out there? Can you hear us? We can't hear you if you're talking. We're testing.
I can't hear you.
Oh, really?
Hear you, Todd.
Really? Well, we're working on it. We're working on it. All right.
Testing. There we go.
All right. Are you there now? I just said, you see, even the electronics are having a hard time following this to our new slot, but we're here. I just asked, you know, a little somewhat of jest, but I mean, do you see smoke coming out of the Capitol Dome there in D.C.? What's the vibe? You know, what is it? What's the vibe of D.C., the insiders, people on the street? Is it that they just think these people are nuts, or what's the vibe out there?
Well, I think it depends on where you sit. Right. Perspective is everything.
Right.
I think there are a lot of people on the Democratic side, certainly the mainstream of the Democrats, I think over at the White House, probably amongst the foreign policy and business leadership community, that are looking at this and thinking, oh, my God, this is really not good. Like, mm-hmm. The House needs to get back open. This is failing the most basic tenet of what members of the House are supposed to do. Like, you know, it's not that complicated. Keep the government open, have the Speaker of the House. These are literally the alphabet of democracy and being in the House. So I think there's a lot of concern about that, particularly with, you know, events globally mm-hmm. are demonstrating that we live in serious times. There's a lot of consternation. I think on the Republican side, there is an understanding that this is a clown show. Mm-hmm. And they are showing to the American voters that this is a clown show. And just how divided the party is. So, but, you know, the question becomes, does Johnson get it just because everybody's exhausted and it's basically like we're going to take a bad answer just to have an answer? This guy, mega, election denier, he is the author, I believe, of legislation that would basically impose on blue state, red state cultural values on things like abortion, gay rights. It's not good, really.
I mean, he's not just an election denier. I mean, he voted to or voted against certifying the results of the 2020 election. And again, if you haven't, I'm still in the middle of this book. I got to finish it up. It's a great book by Major Garrett, chief Washington correspondent of CBS, and David Becker. It's called The Big Truth right here. It's a great book, Upholding Democracy in the Age of the Big Lie. And they do a great job going point by point and laying out evidence why the 2020 election was, in fact, one of the most secure and fair presidential elections in American history. And this guy, Johnson from Louisiana, voted against certifying the election. And he was all in, Trygve, on all this Dominion voting nonsense, which, of course, got Fox in a lot of trouble and was proven to be absolutely 100% a lie. And Johnson was all in. This Republicans are looking, and Elise Stefanik nominates him and says, quote, that Johnson, quote, epitomizes what it means to be a servant leader. Untrue, unquote. How do you take that caucus?
Yeah,
take that caucus seriously?
Well, as somebody who worked at one point in 2012 when she was a Paul Ryan Mitt Romney conservative with Elise Stefanik, it's sad to see somebody like Elise, and she's a hard one for me because I can't explain it, but it is what happens, right?
Right.
Like this kind of extremism, and for those who haven't seen, we have an entire report of research that we've done on political extremism. Really, that political extremism is playing out, and it probably isn't surprising that political extremism and radicalization is playing out in the House, because ultimately the House is representative of the American people, and to a large degree, the House during between elections is probably the best gauge of how divided or how united the American people are and what's going on within the electorate. And what's going on the right within the Republican Party and the electorate is clown.
And to that point, Trevi, there were reports in Politico yesterday, politico.com, that Democrats put out feelers, however you want to say it, the word was on the street between staff, that Democrats, in order to get Emmer from Minnesota, at least a guy who voted to certify the election, as our friend Jeff Timmer pointed out, he did sign on to the amicus brief of the Supreme Court to challenge votes in Pennsylvania, but at least he voted to certify the overall election. And Democrats, to get some form of sanity and to move forward, let it be known among staff, hey, we're not going to vote for Emmer, but if he'll commit to the deal with Biden and the Senate on the budget and keeping government open, and if he'll agree to Ukraine and Israeli aid, we'll make sure that enough of our folks, you know, don't make it back from the bathroom in time and sit the vote out so as to lower the amount that Emmer needs to get elected speaker. And Emmer reportedly, according to Politico, rebuffed that and said, no, I'm either going to get all Republican votes to be the speaker or no speaker at all. So once again, Democrats trying their best to bring sanity to the House and move forward, but Republicans are just absolutists.
Yeah, there's no compromise, and democracy breaks down when people are unwilling to compromise. And I think, you know, we see that in Wisconsin, we see it in our daily lives. And ironically, it isn't the way a lot of these people live their lives outside of their politics. But the reality is, you know, Democrats want to get the House open. You know, aid to Israel is a 75-25 issue. Aid to Ukraine is probably a 37 issue. They're broadly supported across a divided America. Keeping the government open was, you know, a 75-80-20 issue. But I think what you have to understand about MAGA and Donald Trump and the people who basically got rid of McCarthy in the first place, the eight, they revel in chaos. And that's what they want. And Emmer, despite some of his failings, probably was as good as it was going to get until either attrition takes its toll and Republicans, you know, who have been voting against Jim Jordan, ultimately capitulate to somebody who might be worse than Johnson, or they grow a spine and 20 of them go to Democrats and say, all right, who do we need to elect? And if Tom Emmer doesn't want to take it, you know, then maybe they have to go outside and find somebody who could.
We're going to come back to talk more. Trigvi, is this the signaling of the unraveling of the Republican Party as a whole? We'll get Trigvi's take on that, yours as well. Back with more for this. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Tap.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. my way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Sorry, I was signaling to Zomers over the break. I said, turn my mic on. I want to say something to Trigby. And I thought we were in the bottom of all these new breaks. And I'm like, I forgot we were just taking a minute break there.
Yeah, now the short breaks are shorter and the long break is longer.
Sounds like my dating life. Anyway, here's what's going on in the House right now. According to Scott Bauer, Trigby Olson, by the way, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, like myself, a former Republican, worked for it one time. John McCain and Mitch McConnell, among others, has done democracy work around the world and now with the Lincoln Project. Get this, Trigby. Scott Bauer, in the great reporter here in Wisconsin, AP, reports that the only Republicans not present for today's vote in the House on the speaker is Representative Derek Van Orten, who is still in Israel.
It's embarrassing. I
just want to bring that up because apparently this is late breaking news. So I just want to get that out there. We'll talk about Mr. Van Orten in a moment.
He's on a super secret double probation mission. Right. But he isn't doing his job. It's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing. We're going to get to Derek Van Orten in a minute, but I want to get to this question we posed right before the break because there was a great great article on CNN last night, not on the air, but on their website. It was an opinion piece, and it was entitled, We Could Be Witnessing the Republican Party Break Apart in Real Time. It's by Thomas Belkursky, and I'm not going to read the entire thing here, but it starts out, the United States has been without a Speaker of the House of Representatives since October 3rd. Democrats are aligned behind Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, and it goes on to talk about Republicans. It says, once again, this House of Representatives is making history. It was the first to use a motion to vacate the speakership in 100 years and has now become the first Congress to need two speaker elections with multiple ballots and maybe by the end of the show, a third. With so much turmoil in Congress, he writes, I have been asked by my students, he is a professor, and the general public nearly every day, what comes next? And he goes through and he lays out this kind of analogous narrative to the Whig Party. There's a lot of history here. But Trigby, this, what I want to ask you is, this is not the first time in American history where we've seen a major party just kind of start unraveling. In your opinion, this unprecedented time that we're in with a majority party not able to settle on a speaker, to your point before the break, they seem to be taking their orders now from Trump directly. It's Trumpism, not Republican Party. Is the Republican Party that you and I grew up with, that we were once a part of, that we were part of our lives, it was our life, I'll say that for me at least, for a while. Is that party gone? Is it just unraveling before our eyes?
I think it's already unraveled, really, in some ways. In fact, as part of the research project that we're working on at the Lincoln Democracy Institute, I've been writing a report that's going to come out sometime, maybe in the next month. I've been saying that for months because you know how writing research yes. goes. But that it focuses on what we call the Bannon line. And you and I would be examples of the Bannon line, former mm-hmm. Republicans who are still conservative, but are voting for Democrats on occasion. And then, and so there's that group. Liz Cheney, you know, Adam Kinzinger, all those people who've left the party, really, but who are still conservative politically. Then there's traditional conservatives who, on economics, tend to be sort of limited government, or at least profess to be that. Mm-hmm. And then there's MAGA. And really, the only thing that unites those three factions is cultural issues. And even to a degree, a lot of the Bannon line people who've left are ones who left over things like Dobbs, right? Mm-hmm. More moderate conservatives. And so if you look at those three pieces, they are independent of each other. The only thing that's kind of keeping it together is that traditional conservatives, who are actually the largest group of the three, continue to appease the Trump wing because they are afraid that if they cross it, they will lose in primaries. Mm-hmm. And that is a reality, in part because, you know, think about the Republican presidential party in Wisconsin, primary in Wisconsin. People like you and I aren't going to vote in that primary, a lot of them. Mm-hmm. We might, mm-hmm. because we're political geeks, but most people won't,
right,
who are conservatives, and they would be people that wouldn't vote for Donald Trump. So part of the reason why Donald Trump is dominating the primary, part of the reason why MAGA candidates dominate primaries, is because there has been a whole tranche of people who've left, and at the same time, those who have remained in the traditional conservative camp, Mike Gallagher, are never going to stand up to Donald Trump out of fear that they'll lose their seat. And Mike Gallagher wants to be Secretary of Defense or Secretary of State or some broader ambition. And so they appease Trump. And I think that's what Elise Stefanik has done. You know, you can't beat them, join them. And it's ironic because 20% of the conservative movement in this country, the MAGA conservatives who have their own set of fears and live in their own media ecosystem and reality, are dominating the entire Republican Party and the conservative, what it means to be a conservative.
Trivi, I just said, I saw our colleague here at Civic, Dominic Selvia, is here in Madison today. I saw him before the show went on. Yep. And we talked about this a little bit. And I said, Dom, what's just blows my mind is we have a Republican Party who they're not trying to put us elect a speaker, and they're not saying, you know, at least I'll give Nikki Haley credit and say she's trying to have some sort of a discussion around women's right over their body and abortion, and say, look, we're not going to lock women up for having an abortion. We have to have some rational, you know, that you can understand. There have been Republican Party debates on abortion, you know, since God was a boy, or whether or not, you know, so-and-so is a war hawk. Look, we're in you know, tough international times. Someone's going to be tough on international defense or the deficit. Those aren't the discussions, Trigby. We are literally having a discussion right now amongst our former party on a speaker based on, well, that guy voted to certify a legit election. I don't know if we can trust him or not. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally debating the basic elements of our democracy with a whole bunch of people that aren't committed to them. You know, I'm reading a great book, Todd, that I would recommend to listeners who are interested. It's called Jesus and John Wayne. I'd recommend it to
you. I like the title.
And it's really a history of the evangelical conservative movement in the United States, written by an evangelical conservative from Iowa, I believe. Mm. She has seen how she feels like it's gone astray. Mm. But it is fascinating, and it really will give listeners' insights into part of what's going on here, and the irony that that Donald Trump has become almost a poster child for that movement.
Trump literally called, I mean, he used the name Jesus Christ yesterday, saying that, well, you know, if Jesus Christ came down, he could probably elect a speaker. He could get it done. I mean, blasphemy by the former president, and they still vote for him. We're going to come back, give you an update on the speaker vote. More with Trigby Olson after this. Don't go anywhere. We're talking Wisconsin politics as well. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News brief. The UN's relief agency is trying to make up for supplies stolen from its warehouses in Gaza over the weekend. Spokeswoman Juliette Tuma.
The levels of frustration and despair are really very high, and people are hitting rock bottom when it comes to their patience, their ability to take more.
Donald Trump is appealing a judge's order to reinstate a limited gag order to stop him from commenting publicly about his election interference case. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
Trump wants the freedom to speak to this issue, even if it means disparaging the judge, prosecutors, and potential witnesses.
He can still comment on the charges against him. Auto workers will vote on a new deal with Ford. This is Union President Sean Fain.
There is more value in gains for our members in each individual year of this agreement than the entirety
of the 2019 agreement.
There's also an agreement with Stellantis. CBS News Brief, I'm Peter King.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Dane County judge has blocked a move by state lawmakers to remove the state's top election official. Attorney General Josh Call filed the lawsuit after the state Senate voted to remove Megan Wolf from the position. In a court filing, Republican leaders said that the vote was symbolic. While today's motion isn't the final ruling on the matter, the judge ruled that Wolf is allowed to continue serving as the state's election administrator until they make a final decision. Penalties could be on their way up for assaulting or doxing an election official in Wisconsin. A new bipartisan bill would also keep people from looking up clerks' phone numbers or addresses through public records requests. Local clerks from across the country say they're facing more and more harassment since the 2020 presidential election. If the bill becomes law, assaulting an elections clerk could mean 18 months in jail. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Bug Tussle Wireless.
Bug Tussle.
We're out there.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 35 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west to southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, it'll be cloudy with some light snow developing by late evening. We could get a half inch to an inch by tomorrow. 26 the high tomorrow. Flurries in the morning. Windy. Clearing in the afternoon with a high of 35. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons, like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Doing it. Welcome back to the Tahlo Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 12:34 on the time and temperature sign across the state of Wisconsin. Welcoming in Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Like of me, a former Republican from Wisconsin, went on to work for people like John McCain and also Mitch McConnell and others, and worked on democracy projects around the world. Has the distinction of being the only person I know that has been banned from Russia by Vladimir Putin himself. I say that, Trigvi, to repeat it, because there may be people that, you know, have not joined us on this time slot before, so I'll make sure that they know your credentials and a little bit about you. Thank you. It's always an honor to have you. Here's what's going on right now. On the floor of the House of Representatives, the speaker vote is going on. Representative Johnson from Louisiana, the election denier, is now at 158 votes. Hakeem Jeffries, the minority leader for the Democrats, 132. What's interesting, Trigvi, is so far there are zero votes for anybody else. And Mika Solder from Punchbowl News just tweeted out, So a Democrat just said, quote, bye-bye, after vulnerable New York Representative Mark Molinaro has cast his vote for Mike Johnson. You've talked about this. I know Lincoln Project tweeted out before we went on the air of these Republicans who are in districts where Joe Biden won overwhelmingly and are vulnerable. And so far, unlike previous votes so far for House Speaker after Kevin McCarthy was tossed out, so far these folks have fallen in line behind election denier Johnson.
You know what would be funny is if he ends up one vote short because Derek Van Orden is off in Israel. I was thinking about that when I was listening. I was thinking about that while I was listening to sports, and as many of our longtime listeners know, I am an NFL owner of the Green Bay Packers.
Yes.
I was listening to the guy talk about the Packer game. He's a rookie. You know, what Derek Van Orten's doing would be the equivalent of with the big tilt this week with the Vikings. Right. If Jordan Love said, hey, sorry, guys, I can't make it to the game because I need to go watch the Arsenal-Liverpool football match in London.
Right.
That is the equivalent of what Derek Van Orten's doing.
Yeah. It's crazy. And for those who might not have heard so far, we talked about this a little bit on Monday, actually for a half an hour. Derek Van Orten, the freshman congressman from the third, Republican, the third, for those of you who don't know, is basically Western Wisconsin. It goes up and down the Mississippi River. Just north of Eau Claire a little bit, or to the northwest of Eau Claire, and then all the way down, it kind of hooks up and includes Stevens Point in a gerrymandered way, comes back down, kind of takes in the Dells, and or just maybe west of the Dells, Richland County over to Prairie du Chien, and then down to the Illinois line of Grant County. And it's very rural, other than La Crosse and Eau Claire, maybe Hudson is a little bit more urban, but it's a very rural district. And Derek Van Orten, under the dark of night on Thursday, before Jim Jordan's final vote, hopped a plane to Israel. And there are apparently rumors or even reports that he never even told his staff this. Went to Israel, sent out a long diatribe, looked like he wrote it himself, and he said that he, quote, had quote, made a promise to the Jews, unquote, and therefore felt that he couldn't do any more in Washington. And so he was going to Israel, as he claims to be a former Navy SEAL, to help firsthand. And Trevi, I'm going to give you the floor in a second, but I just wanted to set this up. There are tense negotiations to get Israeli Americans out of the hands of Hamas, a terror group, who are hostages. There are over reports of 200 Palestinian Americans trying to get out of Gaza. You know, give us the context. As someone who has worked with people like McCain and McConnell internationally, what a rogue actor like Van Orten is going to potentially do to those negotiations, and how unprecedented this move is.
Well, I don't know how much he'll really impact the negotiations, because I'm not really sure that he'll be at the table. But the potential...
But that's my point, is that how much danger it could do.
Yeah, the potential danger with such things is it sends mixed signals. And those mixed signals end up getting used by the bad guys, always, as demonstrating that there isn't a united platform. And he will be given a credibility by them that he somehow speaks for the U.S. government, when really he speaks for Derek Van Orten. And quite frankly, his job is to speak in Congress. That would be here in Washington, D.C., for the 700,000 people who live in Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. But Derek Van Odwan seems to think that his job is in Israel. And I'm not quite even sure about the statement of, I made a promise to the Jews? Like, what?
I mean, last time I checked, there was a contract to promise to the people of the 3rd District, not just Republicans, everyone who he represents. And there are several key votes going on the floor of the House of Representatives to get the person second in line to the presidency, the line of succession, in order. And Derek Van Orten abandons them, goes AWOL, and takes a powder.
Yeah, I mean, I think Derek Van Odwan is it's hard to say what he's thinking. I kind of think he strikes me as one of these guys who really ran for office because he likes to be on Fox News, and then he wraps himself in, I'm a Navy SEAL. I'm not sure what we really know about Derek Van Odwan, because the truth of the matter is, we know that he says and talks a lot about his service, and that is admirable that he served, but he, beyond that, he really doesn't provide a lot, and he isn't doing his job, which is just embarrassing for the people of Wisconsin. And quite frankly, if you're one of the MAGA Republicans in the 3rd District, or a traditional Republican who voted for Derek Van Odwan over Pfaff, you probably should be asking yourself at this seminal moment for your cause, the election of a speaker, where is Derek Van Odwan? He's not there. He's in Israel because he made a promise to the Jews. It's just perplexing.
Very perplexing.
And it's not the kind of thing Steve Gunderson or Ron Kind or Scott Klug or Mike Gallagher or any of these others would.
Right.
I mean, shoot, the Democrats are all there, and they're just basically casting votes right now that because the mainstream Republicans won't work with them. They're just basically casting votes over and over again, sitting around watching this.
I want to remind people, you can speak for yourself, Trickby, but I get to remind people, I've talked at length on this show. I am in 100% support of Israel and defending themselves. And yeah. I think we have to continue to do that. But to me, if you want to support, you know, quote unquote, his words, not mine, Derek Van Orton, the Jews, or if you want to support Israel, I would think the best way to do that is by being in Congress to elect a speaker so that you can appropriate more money for that cause. And Trigvi, we played a great quote by Mitch McConnell yesterday, who is, I believe it was Margaret Brennan, who interviewed him over the weekend, that said, let me just talk to you about, he was using the Ukrainian aid, but I think, you tell me if I'm right, it goes to Israeli aid as well. When we're approving all this money for aid, what we're doing, McConnell said, is taking arms and weaponry that has become somewhat dated and sending that overseas, then we are investing these millions of dollars into local manufacturing across, he named how many states, I think 18 states, yeah, to build new and replace it. So it's a win-win.
It is a win-win. And to be honest, like Ukrainian aid, I'm a huge supporter of Israel and in terms of what happened there. And you can have sympathy for the non-terrorist Palestinians who, quite frankly, are being punished because Hamas is an autocratic organization that has run Palestine into the ground, the Gaza Strip into the ground. Mm-hmm. But the reality is we have to defend Israel. Quite frankly, we need to engage in Ukraine. When Donald Trump, the leading candidate for the Republican Party, is saying the first thing that he's going to do when elected is pull the United States out of NATO, people in Wisconsin might not think that NATO matters. It's really unfortunate their grandparents or great-grandparents who saw what happened in World War II aren't around. And anybody who thinks that the two aren't interrelated is kidding themselves. And the ultimate consequence history has shown of that kind of lemming instinct is a lot of people suffering both in America and beyond.
Mr. Zomer, I'm going to give you a note over the air here. If we could dial up C-SPAN, if there's any way we could dial up the live feed from C-SPAN, because we are getting now close. Johnson from Louisiana has 202 votes for speaker. Jeffries has 190, now 91, and no defection so far for Republicans as we get close here. Also, looks like the president of the United States is getting ready to, well, he's doing a joint address in the Rose Garden on something else that appears. But if we get close here, if we're actually going to have a speaker, we'll go to that live feed of C-SPAN here and we'll take that live. Johnson now at 206. He needs 217 in order to be elected speaker. Your point is well taken, Trigvi, on the United Nations. And this came, ironically, yesterday was United Nations Day. I'm not sure whether Trump realized that or not. But these are dangerous times. And if we ever needed someone with experience in the Oval Office, it's now.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Biden has been leading in many ways in a very Reagan-esque sort of way. Mm-hmm. And in a way, quite frankly, that Obama didn't, that George W. Bush didn't. The speech that he gave on American foreign policy, really no president, you have to go back to George H.W. Bush to have a president who can give that. The contrast between that traditional American, Reagan-esque, Kennedy-esque foreign policy versus Trumpism, and the isolationist wing of the Republican Party, which has existed, and which, quite frankly, was the reason that we didn't engage more during World War II and caused the death of a lot of Jewish people that didn't have to necessarily happen, was the isolationist wing of the Republican Party. Yeah. The same one that we're seeing with Trump and the same one that we're going to see with Johnson as Speaker.
And speaking of that, Trigby, we are, it appears that Johnson's going to, he is now at 210 with no defections. I mean, talk about for a second while we wait for this, Trigby, the historic nature of the Republican Party about to elect, it appears, a flat-out election denier. And is this a danger to democracy overall?
It isn't good for democracy. It's a bad trend, because what it shows is, again, those people who are uncomfortable with Johnson and the election denial within the Republican Party, appeasing those people just to get things done. And what autocratic forces inevitably do is they wear down the other side. And that is a classic case of what's happened here. It isn't good in the long run, I think, because it's going to make it really hard for aid to Israel and Ukraine and even keeping the government open. I don't know how long Johnson lasts.
Yeah, that's a great point on that. So we're at 214 now. It takes 217. Mr. Zomers, let's go to this into break. Take the audio here. This is from C-SPAN, live from the House of Representatives on the House floor right now.
Williams of Georgia.
Jeffries. Williams of New York.
The son of a firefighter, Mike
Johnson.
Johnson now at
Williams
215.
Williams of Texas.
Takes two more to elect Johnson Speaker.
Johnson.
And he just got another.
Wilson of Florida. Wilson of Florida. Jeffries. Wilson of South Carolina. Johnson.
And there it is.
Johnson.
Johnson now at 218. It appears that Mike Johnson of Louisiana has now been elected the Speaker of the House. We're going to take a break. We are up against the clock here. And there's another flip from before, another vulnerable Democrat, or another vulnerable Republican voting for Johnson. He is going to be the Speaker of the House. Come back after this with Trigby Olson and talk more about the new Speaker here in just a moment. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Jeffries. Vicente Gonzalez. Vicente Gonzalez. Ben Orden. Ben Orden.
If there are any members who did not answer the call of the roll, they may come to the well.
Welcome back to the show. This is Todd Allball, the Civic Media Radio Network, along with Trivia Olson. The silence is deafening. When Derek Van Orten's name was read, he was absent. He was not there. Derek Van Orten has gone AWOL to the constituents of the 3rd Congressional District and was one of a handful of people not in the House to elect a speaker. Trivia Olson, your thoughts.
Well, I think Derek Van Odwan has, the silence is deafening. He's embarrassed himself. He's embarrassed the people of the 3rd Congressional District. He hasn't served them. He hasn't even served the MAGA Republicans to whom he demonstrates constant fidelity, because he wasn't there for the most important vote that any member of Congress takes, which is the one to organize the House of Representatives. I mean, it's embarrassing, Todd.
It is embarrassing. I think
it's
that's
the sound of silence.
You're right.
That will have to be the new lead-in on all Derek Van Orten.
This sounds
with that laid over.
Absolutely, the sound of silence. Representative Johnson, Mike Johnson of Louisiana, 220 votes. Hakeem Jeffries, 209, with all members present having voted. Mike Johnson, an election denier, someone who was all in on the Dominion voting machine scandal, which was a lie, is now the second person in line to the presidency of the United States of America. I'm going to be interested, Trigvi, to hear from the Republican Party of Wisconsin, in particular, our friend Brian Schimming, the chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. What is he going to say about Derek Van Odwan, to use your term, missing this vote? What do you say if you're Brian Schimming about Van Orden?
I don't about Van Orden.
Yeah.
How
do you defend this if you're Schimming?
I don't know. I mean, Brian is a talker, so maybe he can talk his way out of this one for Van Orden.
I think.
What do you think, Somers?
I think that his best bet is to just not address it and hope that nobody notices.
I think that's probably the strategy they're going to take.
Yeah, because you haven't heard a word from him since he left the country. Haven't heard a word from him.
No.
And I think this is, I mean, this is a great opportunity for Democrats in the 3rd District if they don't mess it up, right?
It should be, because here's the thing. If the Democratic Party in the state of Wisconsin and every one of those five candidates who's running in the 3rd, they can take this free advice for what it's worth. But they need to be reminding people of that silence, and they need to be explaining to people across partisan lines that it's an embarrassment to those people. It's not who they are. It's embarrassing that their member of Congress didn't answer the bell on the most important job and vote that he could take, because he's off on some kind of trip that is unexplained what he's doing.
Yeah.
He is not reporting for duty. He is off. You know, he'll probably try and say it was some clandestine mission, or I don't know what he's going to try and say, but just do your job, man.
And I hope to goodness that, and I don't want to get into this too far, but there were a couple of members, one of whom, Francesca Hong here in the Madison area, who I've supported, I think is a good person. And then you have State Senator Chris Larson, another Democrat. They have this resolution going around the state capitol calling for, you know, withdrawal from Palestine and you know, carrying on and on about this. And this is, you know, we've gone into this ad nauseum yesterday on the show. Matt Flynn, former two-term Democratic Party chairman, called them out yesterday and said, we don't need this. This is not a winning strategy for Democrats in the state of Wisconsin. So you have a guy here who has abdicated his responsibility in Van Orden. I mean, don't mess this up. It's just my hope for Democrats, particularly in the 3rd District.
Yeah, I mean, I think, sorry, I, a little distracted because I have somebody texting me.
A lot going on.
But the reality is this is a huge opportunity for people in the third district. I mean, that ad writes itself.
Right.
And quite frankly, it should be the kind of thing that can be leveraged with those Bannon line kind of voters that I was talking about, those voters that are sitting there in the middle who are conservatives, but who are really uncomfortable with MAGA and its tactics. Here, between Johnson getting elected and Van Odwin not being there for the vote.
Here's some free advice for Democrats. Look, I got no problem with you know, basic legalized marijuana, but how about less marijuana and less withdrawal from Palestine talk and more talk about saving the University of Wisconsin system and public education? That would seem to be an agenda that would resonate more. How about doing your duty, unlike Derek Van Orten? I don't know, Trigvy, you're a bigger consultant than I ever was. Don't those sound like better winning messages for rural Wisconsin?
Honest to God, workforce development, the University of Wisconsin system, public education. You know, all those things are going to be choice. All those things are going to be impacted by who's Speaker of the House. And Derek Van Odwin wasn't there to cast the vote. That is an embarrassment and a dereliction of duty. And I think maybe that's the other thing that they should be adding in, dereliction of duty and embarrassing, because that's what it was. And the truth of the matter is, if you look at the way the guy behaves himself, he's not the guy you want as your neighbor, because he's going to be like Clint Eastwood mumbling, "Get off my lawn."
About a minute here, a minute and a half left, Trigvy. As a Packers owner, are these guys going to get back on track? Can we salvage the season, or do we just have to move on to next year?
See, you know what? I view this as kind of a season of growing. And, you know, it's odd that Jordan Love's biggest defender is Aaron Rodgers. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that. Really?
Yeah, he was. saying, you know, it hems and flows. But here's the thing, is there is nothing I enjoy more than Packer wins. If there is one thing, it's the Vikings losing. Mm-hmm. And so this is a big weekend for me, because it's a potential twofer, right? If the Packers can beat the Vikings,
right,
that would be a great thing. If they don't, though, I'm okay with it. I just think this is a year where they're building. They got a lot of young guys. They're going to get their act together. I really think they will.
By the way, on the way out, Trigvy Olson from the Lincoln Project, thank you so much. Guess whose birthday it is today? Katy Perry.
No.
It is.
Seriously?
It's Katy Perry's birthday today.
I'm slacking.
If you play that Peacock song again, I'm going to puke.
No, we're not going. We don't have time. Trigvy Olson, we appreciate you so much, my friend. Thanks for giving us the latest updates from D.C. We'll see you next week.
Yep, this was great.
Yep, appreciate you. Stay tuned. More on the other side.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Mino and the Mayor.
Right. Do you ever have
ladies, come to your shop, your beautiful, wonderful store on Military, and ask if the diamond they got was real?
Absolutely, they do.
They do, huh?
And how many, if any, are married to people like John Rhino?
What's that supposed to mean?
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app,
Mino and...